tell us anything willingly. Let's get some food before the warrant we requested for his place comes in. You don't have to ask me twice. His appetite was the stuff of legends. They left HQ and went to one of their favorite sub shops, where she got a small veggie while he had a large meatball. It's so not fair that you can eat anything you want and not gain a freaking pound, she said, eyeing his lunch with lust in her heart. What can I say? I'm metabolically blessed. I hate you.
No, you don't,
he said around a mouthful of meatball. Right at this moment, I actually do hate you. What were you brooding about in the office earlier? And don't tell me it was nothing. I know it was something. Forrester wants to see me tomorrow at 2. Oh. He took a drink from his extra-large soda and wiped the sauce off his face.
Did they give any indication?
Sam shook her head. They just asked me to be there for the meeting. I'm sure it's going to be fine. I wish I was as confident as you and my attorney are. Come on, Sam. There's no way regular people are going to indict you for punching that loudmouth when he so totally had it coming. It still counts as assault. Last time I checked, assault is a crime. He popped a fry bathed in ketchup into his mouth. They won't indict you. The citizens of this city want you doing what you do best. Tracking down real criminals. Let's hope so. Her phone buzzed with a text from Malone.
Got your warrant.
The warrant is in. Eat up. Over the next 5 hours, they tore apart the townhouse in Southeast, where Trace Simmons lived with his sister and her 2 young children, who'd been asked to leave the house while the police were there. The sister had put up such a fight that patrol had taken her in, and the kids were in the custody of the Simmons's mother.
That was Captain Harrison, Freddie said when he ended a call. Nothing in the way of black sedans in Simmons's group of known associates. Sam growled with frustration.
Doesn't mean they didn't get their hands on one and drove around the city shooting people, Freddie said. It only means they don't own one.
Yeah, yeah.
Sam's phone rang, and she took the call from a number she recognized as Minnesota. Lieutenant Holland?
This is Robert Brinkley, Caroline's father.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
My wife and I are on our way to Washington, and we're hoping we might see our daughter.
I'll ask the chief medical examiner, Dr. Lindsay McNamara, to get in touch with you to make that happen.
Thank you.
After a pause, he said,
Have there been any arrests?
Not yet, but we are working the case and following several leads.
Okay.
We'll see you when you get here.
After she ended the call, she said to Freddie, Write down this number. She dictated Robert's number.
Did you know that on smartphones you can share the contact and there's no need to write anything down?
Stop being a smartass and call that number into Lindsay. Ask her to get in touch with Caroline Brinkley's parents, who want to see their daughter when they get here.
Yes, ma'am. Whatever I can do to help.
Sam went to confer with Haggerty, the crime scene lieutenant overseeing the search. Any sign of a 9mm?
We haven't found any weapons.
Keep looking.
That's the plan.
He went to rejoin his team while Sam cooled her heels, waiting for something, a thread to pull that would lead them to their shooter. She took a call from Captain Malone.
Anything at Simmons's place?
Not yet.
Patrol has a lead on a possible car.
Campus police at American University reported they found it in one of their lots with an AU parking sticker. They noticed what might be gunpowder residue on the passenger side window frame. I've sent a team to pick it up and bring it to the lab.
Have you expressed the supreme urgency to the slow-as-shit lab?
I have.
Do we know who it belongs to?
We do.
Let's go get him.
The owner reported it stolen 2 days ago. I've sent someone to collect their prints so we have them.
Sam deflated. At least we can dust it for the shooter's prints and other evidence.
There is that.
But that'll take time. She glanced at the sun, which sank toward the western horizon as her anxiety spiked. Would the shooter strike again tonight?
We need to put out the word that people have to stay off sidewalks tonight. No sidewalk service at restaurants or cafes. No gatherings on street corners or stoops. Residents need to stay inside until we know for sure this is over.
I agree. The chief and I were just saying the same thing. Tough time of year to tell people to stay in.
Tough choice. Do I dine al fresco and possibly get shot? Or do I stay the hell inside and not get taken out by someone who's clearly shooting to kill? Such a tough decision.
Your sarcasm is one of your most charming attributes, Lieutenant.
What are some of the others?
His loud laughter echoed through the phone. I'm gonna take the fifth on that one.
Hey, Cap, so, I got a call from Forrester's office. They want me there at 2 tomorrow.
Did they say?
Nothing more than they want to see me.
Ugh. Let's hope the grand jury did the right thing.
What if they didn't?
Don't go there, Sam. Just don't even think about it until or unless you have to.
Got it. Denial. I'm following that strategy a lot these days.
Whatever works.
Do me a favor and don't say anything about this to the chief or anyone else until we know what it's going to be, okay?
I won't say a word, but please let me know as soon as you hear anything.
I will. After we're finished here, I'm going to call it a day until we have more on the car. You'll take care of issuing the statement to the public?
You've already got the public affairs people working on it.
Good. Don't let them screw it up.
I'll see if we can avoid that.
Call me if anything pops tonight.
You'll be the first to know.
Lucky me. I hope I don't talk to you later.
I hope not either.
Sam slapped her phone closed and updated Freddy on what the captain had told her about the car found at American University.
What now?
Let's finish up here and call it a day. Hopefully the lab will have something for us from the car by the morning. They know it's urgent, and perhaps they might actually treat it as such for once.
We can only hope.
Does finding the car mean it might be over?
Nothing's stopping them from grabbing another one.
We'll have to wait and see if they're done with us. The PAO is putting out a release to warn residents and visitors to stay off the sidewalks. If they're out hunting again tonight, hopefully people won't make it easy for them. His deep sigh said it all. In a big, vibrant city like theirs, it was almost impossible to expect everyone to stay inside and off the sidewalks.
So that's it? We're just going home?
Well, our tour is up, and we've done everything we can for now. Simmons has lawyered up, and since his lawyer didn't arrive by the end of our shift, he can be our guest overnight. Let Harrison know that.
Will do.
Haggerty came out a short time later to let her know they were done with their search.
We didn't find any weapons, but we uncovered a drug stash that may result in a parole violation for our friend Mr. Simmons. You can let the family come back.
Sam glanced into the house that had been turned upside down by the search and felt for people who'd be returning home to such a mess, even if the sister had been a huge pain in the ass. Let's make it so they can walk in the door at least, Sam said. She and Freddy went into the house and spent 30 minutes clearing a path through the destruction. When they'd done what they could to restore some order, they walked out together.
I feel bad for her coming home to this, Freddy said.
That's what she gets for letting her felon brother live with her and her kids.
I suppose.
Can I drop you at HQ?
Nah, he said.
I'll hop on the metro and leave my car at work for the night.
Are you sure?
Yep. I'll see you at 0700?
If not before.
Let's hope not. I've got my fingers and toes crossed for a quiet night.
But not my legs.
Ew, gross.
Nothing gross about it, my friend.
On that disgusting note. He waved and jogged off toward the metro. Sam drove home thinking about the families of her four victims and wishing they'd made more concrete progress that day. But investigations like this required methodical police work that didn't happen quickly. The Secret Service waved her through the 9th Street checkpoint, and she parked in her assigned space in front of their home. Since the street was devoid of black SUVs, Sam decided to pop into her dad's before she headed home.
Where are they? She asked Eric, the agent on duty at the door.
On the way home from the Feds game.
Okay, thanks, Sam said. Glad to hear Nick had been able to arrange the last-minute outing for himself and Scotty. She walked to the house three doors down from hers, dashed up the ramp, and gave a quick knock on the door before going in. Anyone home? Back here, Sam, her stepmother Celia said. Celia and Skip were at the kitchen table eating dinner while watching the news. Sam kissed them both and helped herself to a bottle of water from the fridge, downing half of it in one big gulp.
Tough day at the office, dear? Skip asked.
Yeah. Sam took a seat at the table. I'm totally dehydrated, sweaty, and frustrated.
We saw the warning the department issued asking people to stay inside, Celia said, as she fed Skip a bite of chicken. It's such a shame that people need to be afraid like this.
Believe me, I know. It's infuriating to all of us. But until we get these bastards, we have to take precautions.
Any leads? Skip asked.
Sam told them about Tamara Jackson's connection to Trace Simmons, the search of Simmons' home, and finding the car at AU.
It's a start, Skip said.
It's slow going.
Always is with this kind of thing. You have to dot the I's and cross the T's one step at a time.
I hate that. I want to figure it out and lock them up right now.
My poor, impatient baby girl, he said with an indulgent smile.
Yeah, yeah, that's me. Couple of other developments today, she said, telling them about Stahl and the Alford plea, as well as the meeting with Forrester.
Forrester's office didn't give any indications, Skip asked.
Sam shook her head, took a roll from the basket on the table, and tore off a bite.
Just be there at 2 tomorrow. I'm not worried about an indictment, and you shouldn't be either, Skip said.
That's good to know, but until I hear him say the words, I'm sweating it.
Try not to lose any sleep over it.
Celia patted Sam's hand.
You'll know one way or the other tomorrow.
Imagine those headlines in addition to all the others, Sam said with a wry smile.
What are you thinking about Stahl?
That I'm not settling for anything less than an admission of guilt, even if that means I have to live through a trial to get it.
Good, Skip said, because I'll let you accept that plea over my cold, dead body.
I speak for Celia and the rest of your family when I say we don't want to talk about your cold, dead body.
What she said.
Celia used her thumb to point to Sam.
That son of a bitch needs to own up to what he did, not slink off to prison without having to admit it.
Couldn't agree more, Skippy. Glad we're on the same page, as usual. I'd better get home and see what my boys are up to.
Scotty was here earlier, Celia said.
He's in a full-on depression over the start of school.
I used to feel the exact same way, Sam said. Remember?
All too well, Skip said,
half his face lifting into a smile.
You went into a funk every year around this time that lasted for weeks, especially before the dyslexia was diagnosed.
School was the seventh circle of hell for me,
and somehow you ended up with a high school diploma, a college degree, and a graduate degree, Skip said,
the expressive side of his face beaming with pride.
I have no doubt that our Scotty will find his stride and go all the way. He's one of the smartest, sharpest kids I've ever known. He actually reminds me a lot of his mom at that age.
Sam smiled and bent to kiss his forehead. That's nice to hear. I often think he's just like Nick.
He's a lot like you, too, Celia said. Nurture is every bit as important as nature.
You guys are good for my morale.
We love you, Celia said bluntly.
Love you, too. Sam kissed her stepmother's cheek as she left the kitchen to head home, thankful for the family that surrounded her in good times and in bad. She'd been back in touch with her mother recently, after a 20-year estrangement that had stemmed from her parents' contentious divorce. Sam and her sisters had helped to see their mother through the aftermath of a lumpectomy for stage 1 breast cancer earlier in the summer. Fortunately, the doctors had gotten it all and had recommended no further treatment. Brenda had spent a day with them at the beach, and it had gone well. Sam's relationship with her was slowly but surely improving. Brenda was now settled in a townhouse in Arlington, Virginia, so she could be close to her three daughters and her grandchildren. It was still somewhat odd, Sam thought, as she walked to her own house, to be back in touch with her mother after all this time. But it was nice to put that negativity in the past where it belonged. One thing she had learned was that no one knew what went on inside a marriage except for the two people in it, and that included her parents. Speaking of marriage, Sam was thrilled to see the street lined with black SUVs, which meant her husband and son had gotten home while she was at her dad's. She went up the ramp to their house, and Eric opened the door to admit her. "Thank you," she said to the agent. In the kitchen, she found Nick leaning against the counter, drinking a beer. His face lit up with pleasure at the sight of her.
"This is a nice surprise," he said, reaching for her. "I didn't expect to see you until much later."
Sam snuggled into his embrace and brought him up to date on the latest with the case. "We've done all we could today. Now we wait for the lab and to see if the shooters will strike again."
"I heard about the warning to citizens. Pretty hardcore."
"Had to be done."
"You like the gangbanger for the shootings?"
"I don't know. It doesn't add up. If he was intent on getting Tamara back, killing her brother would put a damper on the romance. Plus, there's nothing to indicate he has above-average skills with a gun."
"True."
His hand made a soothing circle on her back.
"What have you done with the boy child?" "I sent him to take a shower and get his backpack ready for tomorrow."
"How'd he take that directive?"
"As you might imagine."
Sam laughed.
"I used to love the first day of school," Nick said.
"You were one of the dorks who ruined the curve for the rest of us, weren't you?"
"Maybe."
"How many times did you make the honor roll?"
"May I decline to answer out of fear of being mocked for the rest of my life?"
She looked up at him. "How many times?"
"All the times," he said with a weak smile.
"Oh my God, how did I not know this before I said I do?"
"You knew I got an academic scholarship to Harvard. How do you think that happened?"
"I've honestly never thought about how, but now that I know, this may be grounds for an annulment."
"Nice try, babe," he said with a laugh, "as if I'd ever let you go for any reason. And besides, I think you can only get an annulment before the marriage is consummated. Since we've consummated ours about 6,000 times, I'd say you're screwed in more ways than one."
Sam laughed. "You think you're so smart."
"I know I'm smart, and now you know it too."
Looking down at her, he said, "By the way, that's twice you've mentioned leaving me in one 24-hour period.
Should I be worried?"
"Not even kinda." She closed her eyes, laid her head on his chest, and let out a deep breath, relieved to be back in his arms after a hellish day. He always made her feel better, even when boasting about his impressive academic record. "If we ever have biological kids, do you think they'll get my school brains or yours?" Only because she was pressed so tightly against him did she feel his entire body go rigid over the fraught subject of babies.
"I don't know," he said. "Hopefully we'll get the chance to find out."
"What if we have a kid who's just like me? A classic underachiever in school? Wouldn't that make you crazy?"
"Not at all. I'd be so in love with any kid of ours that I'd be more afraid of spoiling him or her rotten than what kind of grades they get."
"As usual," he said the perfect thing. "That's good to know."
"Anything you want to tell me, babe?"
Chapter 11. Sam's inclination was to keep it from him until she knew for sure. But wrapped up in his arms, she couldn't do that to him. "I've been feeling weird lately. I asked Shelby to get me a test, and she said she'd leave it under the sink in our bathroom." With his hands now on her shoulders, he held her back from him so he could see her face.
"For real?"
"I don't know." Her throat closed around a lump of emotion that made her crazy for being so emotional over this issue,
Even after all this time?
Let's go take the test.
Right now?
This very minute.
Nick, I have other stuff I need to talk to you about.
We'll get to that.
He took her hand and gave a gentle tug.
This first.
Without much participation from her, he got them both upstairs and into the bathroom in the master suite with minimal fuss. Bending to look under the sink, he retrieved 3 different pregnancy tests and put them on the counter. Shelby was nothing if not thorough. While Sam looked on, feeling a surreal detachment to the scene unfolding before her, he took the 3 wand thingies out of the boxes and packaging.
You want me to go in with you?
The question snapped her out of the detached state to shake her head. That's where I draw the line.
Get in there and start peeing.
He nudged her toward the separate room that housed the toilet.
Hand them out to me when you're done.
That's kinda gross.
Just do it, Samantha.
She took the sticks from him and went into the adjoining room, all thumbs as she unbuttoned her shorts. Was this really happening? Could it be, after all this time?
Don't get ahead of yourself. One step at a time.
She peed on the first stick. Here's one. Keeping to the minimal fuss routine, he reached into the room and took it from her. She did the other 2 and handed them out to him. Her hands trembled as she righted her clothes and joined him in the bigger part of their master bathroom, where he had lined up the tests on the counter.
How long does it take? He asked.
A few minutes. She had far too much experience with this ritual for someone who'd never had a baby. He wrapped his arms around her and brought her head to rest on his chest.
Hold on to me, Samantha.
Either way, we've got this. A plus or a minus won't change anything that really matters. She clung to him and his sweet words and told herself he was right. A baby would only make an already beautiful life more so. Not having a baby wouldn't take anything away from what they already had. Once again, she felt the change in him because they were holding each other so tightly. When all the air seemed to leave his body in one long exhale, she had her answer and blinked back tears of disappointment. By now, she ought to be used to it.
"We'll keep trying," he said gruffly. "We'll try and we'll try until it happens. Think about all the fun we'll have trying."
Tears ran unchecked down her face, wetting his shirt, but he never let her go. He held on until she got it all out, running his hand over her hair and her back, whispering more sweet words of love and giving her everything she needed to get through this latest setback.
"If it's meant to be," he said, "it'll happen. And if not, we'll be just fine. I promise. We have everything we need and then some. We have more than I could have ever dreamed of."
"I'm sorry," she said between sobs. "I shouldn't have told you. I hate to disappoint you."
"Samantha, of course you should have told me.
I'd never want you to be disappointed alone. This is our project. We're in it together no matter what.
Don't keep something like this from me in a misguided attempt to protect me."
"I don't ever want you to be disappointed because of me."
"Sam, honey, look at me."
She lifted her face from his chest and looked up at him, gazing down at her with his heart in his gorgeous hazel eyes.
"There is nothing you could do that would disappoint me except stop loving me."
"That's not going to happen." He used his thumbs to wipe away her tears.
"Then we're all set."
Hugging her again, he made everything better with the way he loved her.
"How about we have dinner with our son, who has requested pizza for the last night of summer vacation, and then spend some time in the loft? I want to be alone with my wife tonight."
"That sounds good."
"You said we have other stuff to talk about?"
That stuff seemed unimportant after the pregnancy news, or lack thereof. She nodded. "We'll talk about that later. I just need a minute to get myself together."
"Take all the time you need. I'll order the pizza."
He discreetly scooped up the pregnancy tests and took them with him, presumably to dispose of them in a way that wouldn't add to the headlines swirling about them.
And Samantha, he said, looking back at her from the doorway, never forget how much I love you.
I never could.
He gifted her with a smile that lit up his entire face.
Good.
Sam bent over the sink and splashed her face with cold water, hoping to get rid of the puffiness so Scotty wouldn't see that she'd been crying. She felt like such a fool for thinking this time might be different. Once again, her body had betrayed her by sending out a false alarm. She'd be wiser next time, less likely to jump to conclusions. If she ever did get pregnant, she'd be one of those women who found out they were having a baby when they went into labor. That thought made her laugh, because she'd always wondered how anyone could not know they were pregnant until the baby arrived. Taking a cold, wet washcloth with her, she stretched out on the bed and applied the compress to her eyes, which were still leaking with tears, despite her fierce desire to move on from this latest in a long string of disappointments related to her fertility. Perhaps it might be time to try something more, she thought, groaning at the idea of going through fertility treatment again. The last time she'd done that, while still married to Peter, she'd nearly come undone from the stress, the hormones, and the sheer agony of one disappointment after another. But it might be different with Nick by her side to weather the storm along with her. That was something to think about after this latest crisis in their lives played out one way or the other. If Nick was forced to become president, the last thing they'd need was fertility treatments on top of that madness. After 30 minutes, she got up to go into the bathroom to check the damage to her face, which was still red, but not as puffy as it had been. She applied some concealer and brushed her hair, determined to present a cheerful front for her son, who was already glum enough about the start of school. He didn't need a depressed mother, too. When she felt ready, she went downstairs to join them in the kitchen, where a pizza box was open on the counter. Normally, she avoided pizza and the hellacious calories that went with it. But tonight, she helped herself to two slices of the meat lovers and took her usual seat at the table. Nick glanced her way, his brows raised in question. Sam nodded to let him know she was okay. "How was the game, buddy?" she asked Scotty.
"It was great. Big win by the feds. They need everything they can get between now and the end of the month if they want to make the playoffs."
"If they keep playing the way they did today," Nick said, "they'll make the playoffs with room to spare."
"If they do, can we go to another game?"
"I don't see why not."
"Maybe you'll be president by then," Scotty said with a smirk.
"Shut your filthy mouth," Sam said around a mouthful of pizza.
Scotty cracked up laughing.
"At some point, we need to talk about what we're going to do if it actually happens."
"Not yet," Nick said. "We're still operating from a place of full denial."
"That's ridiculous," Scotty said. "This whole town is about to go mad with the hearings starting tomorrow, and you're in denial."
"Yep, and that's where I plan to stay."
"Don't you want to be president?" Scotty asked.
Well, no, not really."
Scotty's mouth fell open with surprise. "And pizza."
"Seriously?"
"Seriously. Being VP is more than enough for me."
"Does the DNC know you feel that way?" he asked.
"You're far too smart for your own good, mister," Nick said, his eyes dancing with amusement and affection.
Sam could tell he was pleased by the smart questions from their son, who paid attention to the details when it came to their careers.
"And no, the DNC doesn't know that."
"You might want to give them a heads up, since they're counting on you running in the next election."
"What he said," Sam said, nodding toward Scotty.
"All right, you two. Enough already with the talk about politics and my career. If you're dreading school starting tomorrow, think about what I'm dreading that starts tomorrow."
Scotty thought about that while he polished off another slice of pizza.
"Congressional hearings that might lead to the impeachment of the president when you're the vice president is definitely worse than school."
"Thank you," Nick said.
"I'm wondering, what should I say to the other kids who will ask me what's going to happen?"
Nick glanced at Sam before returning his gaze to Scotty. Tell them no one knows what's going to happen, and like everyone else, we have to wait and see.
That'll work.
The most important thing is to not get into any kind of speculating. Anything we say or do right now, even an innocent comment in school, could end up plastered across the front page of every paper in the country. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I gotcha. I'll stick to the script.
Nick laughed at Scotty's choice of words. You're the best. They worked together to clean up from dinner and sent Scotty up to get ready for an early bedtime.
The party's over, he grumbled on his way out of the kitchen.
I can feel his pain right here, Sam said, hand over her belly. I remember too well how dreadful the end of summer vacation always was. Whereas I was sharpening all my pencils and filling my binders with loose-leaf paper and color-coded dividers. Nick shuddered, as if in ecstasy. I can't hear this. Standing at the sink, Sam put her hands over her ears. I knew eventually I'd discover something about you that wasn't perfect. It was only a matter of time. I like the smell of library books, too. Sour milk and paper and the crunch of plastic covers. Stop, or I'll never have sex with you again. Laughing, he put his arms around her from behind and nuzzled her neck while settling his erection against her lower back. Admit it. You think my perfect GPA is sexy? I'll admit no such thing, she said, even as she pushed her ass against him suggestively. Uh-huh. Whatever you say, babe. His hands traveled from her hips to her belly and up to cup her breasts, his thumbs sliding across her nipples, which reacted to his nearness the way they always did. She was powerless to resist him, not that she ever tried very hard to resist. I hope no one hassles Scotty at school about current events. Do you think we ought to reach out to someone about that? Might be worth a phone call. I'll take care of it in the morning. You'll send the front office into a tizzy if you call. A call from me will get their attention, which is what we want. True, Sam said, turning to face him. A call from the sexy vice president would get anyone's attention, especially the ladies that work in the school office. As always, he scowled when she commented on his sexiness. Sam laughed and brought him in for a kiss. Let's get our son tucked in so we can have some time alone. I really need it tonight. A pang of anxiety reminded her that she could be called out to another homicide at any minute. I need it too, he said, returning her kiss and watching over her with love and concern. They'd had another disappointment, but they still had each other, and that was more than enough to take the sting out of this latest setback. Sam waited until the 9 o'clock Secret Service shift change to go into Scotty's room to kiss him goodnight. Lights out by 10, buddy, she said, as she adjusted the comforter around him.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Try to look forward to seeing all your friends and not think about the school part. He smiled up at her.
Is that what you used to do?
Every year. She kissed his cheek. I'll see you in the morning. Bright and early.
That last part was unnecessary.
Sorry, she said, trying not to smile.
No, you're not.
Laughing, she said, love you, pal. Sleep tight.
Love you, too.
Sam closed his door and headed for the third floor, thankful to not have to sneak past the agent who stood watch in the upstairs hallway on the way to her booty call with her husband. They were still getting used to having their house crawling with Secret Service, but at times like this, Sam tried to forget about the extra people in the house so she could focus exclusively on her husband. Nick had already lit the beach-scented candles and put on the Polynesian music that reminded them of their trips to Bora Bora for their honeymoon and first anniversary.
There you are. I was about to send out a search party.
I waited for the shift change. I hate when they know we're up here. It's like they know what we're doing. Laughing, he extended his hand to her, inviting her to join him on the comfortable double lounge chair. Sam untied her robe and dropped it to the floor before she crawled from the foot of the lounger to curl up to him.
Could I get a video of what you just did so I can watch it anytime I want?
Absolutely not. My husband is a very important man. And if a video like that ever got out, it would ruin him. You'll have to rely on memories.
Your husband, he said, nuzzling her neck as he cupped her breast, is a very, very lucky man.
Yes, he is. And he's about to get even luckier. His low chuckle made her smile.
I can't tell you how relieved I am to see you smiling and joking tonight, even though you're aching on the inside.
I am, she said, settling into his embrace, her head resting on his chest. But the disappointments are easier to accept than they used to be before I had you and Scotty. When I was with Peter, we were both upset, but we didn't go through it together the way you and I do. I was always so alone with the disappointment.
I hate to think of you lonely and upset and so close by, yet so far away for all those years.
If I didn't go through that, I probably wouldn't appreciate what I have now as much as I do.
Yes, you would. You didn't have to go through hell to know magic when you feel it.
Is that what this is? Magic?
I've yet to find a better word to describe it. Whenever things get to be too much, all I have to do is think of you and I feel better. That's all it takes.
His sweet words brought tears to her eyes. Sam pushed herself up on an elbow and gazed down at him. I do the same thing. I'll be in the middle of something hideous at work, and I think of you and Scotty, and you help me cope. He raised a hand to her face and brought her down for a kiss.
That's how I know we're going to get through whatever the next few weeks have in store for us. No matter what happens, we'll always have this, and that makes the rest bearable.
Sam nodded in agreement. Exactly. What do we care if you have to become president if we can still run away to our loft?
He groaned. Mood killer, babe.
Will you build me a loft in the Lincoln bedroom?
Shut up.
Shut me up.
With pleasure.
Nick rolled them over so he was on top of her and kissed the sass right out of her. When they were together this way, there were no murderers to find, reporters to dodge, political crises unfolding, or first day of school woes to contend with. Holding her hands over her head, he played her body like a maestro, like he was born to love her and only her. He knew just where to kiss and touch and caress her to make her wild for him. Let me have my hands. She tugged at his tight hold. I want to touch you. He shook his head and ran his tongue over her nipple.
This time is all about you, my love.
Sam trembled in reaction to his words and the tight tug of his lips on her nipple. In their second year of marriage, she'd come to understand that he needed to take care of her tonight, and she needed to let him. So, she let go and surrendered to him, giving them both what they needed most. As he moved down her body, he released his tight hold on her hands, but Sam kept them where she knew he wanted them. With his lips and tongue, he drove her to a fast orgasm, and then took her up again, leaving her hanging at the brink when he entered her and sent her flying. Her eyes fluttered open to find him looking down at her, the fierce look of love in his eyes the only thing she saw. Then he began to move, and she wrapped her arms around him, needing him close to her even more than usual tonight. He grasped her bottom and held just as tightly while he made love to her.
God, Samantha, I love you. I love you so damned much.
I love you too. After that, there were no words, only more of the magic they created together. And it was just what she needed. Chapter 12. Much later, after they'd slaked the urgent physical need, Sam lay awake in his arms, staring at the darkness and thinking about the things she needed to tell him. His hand caressing her back let her know he was still awake. We need to talk about a couple of things. His hand stopped moving.
Like what?
Stahl and Ramsey.
Nick's entire body went tense at the mention of the two officers who'd put her through hell in the last year.
Really?
Unfortunately, yes. She told him about Forrester requesting her presence in his office, as well as Stahl wanting an Alford plea and the ramifications of that. By this time tomorrow, I could be indicted on felony assault charges. Despite her resolve to push the pending meeting from her mind, the implications overwhelmed her. If she were indicted, her career could be over.
You won't be indicted.
And you know that how?
I sent word to Forrester through the Attorney General quite some time ago, letting him know that I expected to be notified in advance if you were going to be indicted. I haven't heard from him, so it's probably safe to assume there isn't going to be any indictment.
Wow. Well, that's a relief. I can't believe you did that.
I wasn't about to let either of us be blindsided by an indictment. Not that I ever thought there'd be one.
People like you. They want you out on the streets doing what you do best.
Locking you up isn't going to make our city safer.
Ramsey's gonna go nuts if they don't indict me.
Let him. With the headlines about the hearings dominating the news, no one will care.
Sam huffed out a laugh.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
If I forget to say so later, thanks for being vice president and getting embroiled in the president's scandal so no one will care if I'm indicted or not.
Whatever I can do to help the cause, babe, he said with a chuckle. Now talk to me about Stahl. What are you thinking about the plea?
If it were just about me, I'd say no way to him getting out of admitting what he did to me. But it's not just about me. It's about you and Scotty and my dad and my squad and dragging everyone through what would be a long, nasty trial. It's about the press feeding on the second lady testifying against the fellow officer who hates her and attacked her and tortured her. Do I really want to put everyone through that? Do I want to put myself through it? He took hold of her hand and linked their fingers.
This isn't about me or Scotty, or your dad or your squad. This is about you, and what that monster put you through that awful day. You should do whatever you want to, and not worry about how it affects anyone else. The rest of us will support you no matter how you choose to proceed.
Bolstered by his fierce words of support, Sam said, I don't want to make it easy on him by letting him off the hook. I want him to have to stand in open court and admit that he's guilty and have him found guilty. And that's what my dad wants me to do, too.
Then that's what you should do. Don't take the plea. Tell him you'll see him in court.
The thought of reliving that day makes me sick.
You can do it one more time to make sure he never sees the light of day again. And then forget about it. I'll be right there with you, babe.
Sam squeezed his hand. Thanks. I'll let them know there's no deal. She took a deep breath and let it out.
This has been one hell of a day.
It sure has. He released her hand and wrapped his arms around her.
Close your eyes and get some rest while you can, sweetheart. Tomorrow promises to be another shit show.
Smiling, Sam said, That phrase is mine, and it's copyrighted.
Sue me.
Nah. I'd rather just love you. She woke to the alarm on Nick's phone going off when it was still dark out, surprised, and pleased, to have made it through the night without a call from dispatch. That was a good sign that their shooting outbreak had been a one-night thing. One night was more than enough.
Babe, she said, nudging Nick with her shoulder. Wake up.
He grunted in reply. As he was sleeping face down, Sam crawled on top of him, pressing her naked body to his back.
Wake up, she said again.
It's the favorite day of geeks everywhere. First day of school. His eyes flew open.
New pencils?
Sam laughed and kissed his back, taking a bite out of his shoulder that made him startle.
Guess what? Hmm. No call from dispatch overnight.
That's good news.
Very good news. It means I'm extra well-rested and ready to catch their murdering asses today.
You make me hot when you go badass cop on me. Especially when you're on me.
She moved her hips suggestively, drawing a tortured-sounding groan from him.
Don't do that when we don't have time to see it through.
We have time for a quickie.
We do?
Uh-huh.
But it has to be super quick. We have to wake up Scotty in 15 minutes.
I can do super quick.
Turn over.
She raised herself up so he could move under her, and surprised him when she took him right to the hilt.
Jeez, Samantha. Give me some warning, why don't you?
I did warn you. I said we had to be quick. And are you complaining?
Definitely not complaining.
He put his hands behind his head.
Be quick with me, you wicked woman.
It took Sam less than 3 minutes to finish them both off, leaving them gasping and breathing hard in the aftermath.
Son of a bitch, he muttered. I have to be the luckiest husband who ever lived. My wife is a sex goddess.
Sam laughed. Make sure to post a review to my website.
No way. I'm not telling anyone else what I have, because everyone will want it.
No one else can have what you have.
Thank God for that.
He gave her a light spank on the ass that had her wishing they had time for more.
We've got to get our eighth grader up and moving.
Yeah, he said with a sigh, that had her taking another look at him and seeing the tension that gripped him.
I wish we could stay right here and hide out until the firestorm dies down.
We don't hide out. That's not who we are.
I know, but sometimes I wish we could.
I do too. When it gets to be too much, we'll take a night away at John's cabin. Just the two of us.
He'd inherited the cabin in Leesburg, Virginia, from John O'Connor.
And 30 Secret Service agents, he said with a wry smile.
We'll make them stay outside.
Let's do that.
Going back to work after a fantastic vacation is depressing enough without congressional hearings to contend with, too.
Or drive-by shootings, she said.
Which makes my complaints seem minor in comparison.
They're not minor. They're totally understandable. Promise me something.
He twirled a lock of her hair around his index finger.
Anything.
If it gets to be too much for you, don't try to hide that from me. Share it with me. You don't need to be stoic. Not with me, okay?
Smiling, he nodded.
That's an easy promise to make. I need all the support I can get to deal with this.
Leaning over him, she kissed him.
You have it. Have they told you if you have to testify?
Not yet. But I assume they'll call me sometime this week, if they're going to.
Whenever it is, I'll be there.
You don't have to be. You have murdering thugs to catch.
I will be there, Nick, the same way you'd be there for me.
Smiling, he gazed up at her.
Thanks.
You don't have to thank me for being a good wife for once.
Laughing, he said,
you're always a good wife. Never more so than when we're up here.
This is where I do my best work.
No argument for me, babe.
They disentangled themselves and used the adjoining bathroom to clean up and get presentable before they headed downstairs to wake Scotty. With that unpleasant task completed, Sam rushed through a shower and got dressed. She unlocked her bedside table drawer to retrieve her weapon, badge, and cuffs, and went downstairs at 6:45. In the kitchen, a glum boy ate cereal under the watchful eye of his father, who scanned the morning headlines in the Washington Star.
Anything get worse overnight?
Nope, Nick said. Lots of coverage about the shootings and the MPD's advisory for people to stay inside until the shooter is caught. You guys will be under a lot of pressure to get that done, especially this time of year when everyone wants to be outside.
I know, it sucks.
I've got my fingers crossed that the lab will have something for us from the car today,
Or that we'll be able to get the gangbanger to talk. I hate feeling like we're grasping at straws.
I'm sure. Your new guy starts today, right?
God, I almost forgot about that. In addition to working the case, I get to bring in the replacement for the officer who was murdered. This is shaping up to be a great day.
It's gonna be a great day for all of us, Scotty muttered.
Nick laughed and ruffled Scotty's hair.
Your mom and I would love for the first day of eighth grade to be our biggest concern today.
Stop making me feel petty for complaining about school.
Smiling, Sam bent to kiss his cheek.
I hope you have a fantastic first day of school and a great year.
Make sure Dad takes pictures before you leave. And wear that navy blue polo we bought a couple of weeks ago. You look handsome in that.
All right, he said with a long, suffering sigh.
He got up to put his bowl in the dishwasher and trudged out of the room.
The struggle is real, Sam said to Nick, who rolled his eyes.
As is the drama.
I feel his pain. She bent to kiss her husband.
Thanks for a great night. It was just what I needed after a rough day.
It was a terrible burden, but somehow I survived. He patted her on the ass.
You'll be careful out there, right?
Always. She kissed him again.
Call if you need me.
Likewise. If you want me to come with you to see Forrester, I will.
As much as I'd love to have you with me, if you're there, it becomes an even bigger deal than it already is.
Understood. But call me the minute you know anything.
You'll be my first call, especially if I need you to bail me out.
Not funny. Love you, babe.
Love you, too. On her way out, she nodded to Melinda at the door and went down the ramp into the already sweltering humidity that would make this an even more unpleasant day than it already promised to be. She drove to work thinking about the case, the arrival of Detective Cameron Green, and the emotional impact on her squad as he replaced Detective Arnold. Sam placed a call to her sergeant, looking to feel him out on the arrival of his new partner.
Morning,
Gonzo said. How's it going?
Pretty good, after an unexpected full night of sleep.
I know, me too.
You think it's over?
Hard to say. Only time will tell. Listen, I wanted to check in with you about Green starting today. After a long silence, she said, Gonzo?
Yeah, I'm here. I knew this day was coming, and he seems like a good enough guy.
Are you okay? His gruff laughter masked a world of agony.
Yeah, I'm great.
Gonzo.
It's okay, Sam. Life goes on whether we want it to or not. And it's time to replace Arnold. We need the help, and you found someone worthy of our squad. It's just going to take some time. That's all I can say.
No one will ever replace Arnold, for any of us. I hope you know that.
I do, but thanks for saying so.
I'll be there shortly to handle the paperwork with Green.
I came in early so I could do it. I'm your sergeant. That's my job, not yours.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Will you promise me if you're having any issues, you'll talk to me or Cruz or Trullo? She asked, referring to the department's staff psychiatrist.
Yeah, I will. Thanks for caring. Means a lot.
We all care, Gonzo.
I know. I'll see you when you get here.
At HQ, Sam parked at the morgue entrance and stopped to talk to Lindsay, who looked far too chipper for first thing in the morning. What's got you all sparkly looking? A really great night with my guy? Lindsay was engaged to Nick's chief of staff, Terry O'Connor, brother of John and son of Graham. He surprised me by making dinner last night, and then we...
Stop!
Sam covered her ears. I don't need to know what happened next. I can figure that out for myself. Get your mind out of the gutter, Lieutenant, she said drolly. I was going to say we binge-watched 3 episodes of The Crown about Queen Elizabeth. It's so amazing. Have you seen it?
Can't say that I have.
You guys would love it. Even Terry really liked it. I'll keep that in mind. Did you see Caroline Brinkley's parents yesterday?
Yes, Lindsay said with a sigh, some of her sparkle fading at the reminder of the dreadful case. It was awful. Those poor people. They did everything right. Their daughter did everything right. I told them about finding the can of pepper spray rolled into her hand, and I could tell that little detail killed her dad. He always told her never to be without it, for all the good that did. Do we have any solid leads? I'm hoping the car yielded something useful. And we've got a gangbanger on ice who had issues with one of the Vic's sisters. I'm also planning to dig into our other victims today, to see if anyone had a beef with them. Nothing solid yet, but we're connecting the dots. I'll let you get to it. Let me know if I can help at all. Will do. Sam left the morgue and made her way to the pit, where the first thing she saw was Detective Cameron Green sitting in Arnold's cubicle. The sight stopped her short, the same way a punch to the gut would have. She took a deep breath and fought through the emotional wallop of seeing someone new in Arnold's spot. She cleared her throat and made her way over to welcome her new officer. Good morning, Detective. At the sound of her voice, he jumped up.
Good morning, Lieutenant.
Sam shook his outstretched hand, noting the starched light blue dress shirt and navy tie he'd worn for his first day.
Good to see you.
Good to be here.
Tall, muscular, and handsome, Green had blonde hair and blue eyes, as well as a firm handshake. He'd impressed Sam with his attention to detail, which had led to the recovery of a missing college student, and his determination to get justice for a victim who'd tried to turn her life around.
I'm ready to help with whatever you need.
Has Gonzo briefed you on the investigation into the drive-by shootings?
I was just reading the reports.
We'll be meeting in the conference room in 10 to review developments.
Sounds good.
Sam started to walk away, but stopped and turned back to face him, since they had the pit to themselves for the moment. This, she said, gesturing to his cubicle, is going to be a tough transition for the squad, and for Sergeant Gonzalez in particular. It's nothing personal, I hope you know.
I understand completely.
If you have any issues or challenges, my door is always open. I want you to feel welcome and comfortable here, despite the circumstances.
I appreciate that.
Great. I'll let you get back to reviewing the reports then.
Yes, ma'am.
Pleased to note that her first impression of him hadn't changed in the months since they first met, Sam went into her office feeling encouraged about his arrival and his understanding of the emotional minefield he'd walked into. Sam booted up her computer, looking for a report from the lab on the car. Seeing nothing, she was about to place a call to check the status when Special Agent Avery Hill appeared in her doorway. She hated that, like always, she noticed how incredibly handsome Shelby's fiancé was, with his golden eyes, honey-colored hair, and prominent cheekbones. Sam hadn't seen him in weeks, since the culmination of the investigation that had led them to Christopher Nelson. Agent Hill, this is a surprise.
I wanted to check in to see if we can help with the shootings investigation, so I figured I'd bring the lab report over myself.
Sam reached out to receive the printed report.
You could have emailed it.
I wanted to talk to you about something else, if you have a minute.
That's about all I have.
He piqued her curiosity when he closed the door and took a seat.
I was wondering how you think Shelby has been the last few weeks.
I haven't seen much of her, with being on vacation and her being on leave, but she seems thrilled with Noah and has bounced right back from having him.
Avery nodded.
She is indeed thrilled with the baby. I've never seen her so happy.
That's good, right?
Yeah.
The single word was packed with so many things that curiosity had her wanting to dig in deeper, even if she knew she ought to leave well enough alone. Avery's ridiculous attraction to her had caused trouble for her and Nick, but nowhere near as much trouble as it had caused for him and Shelby. That trouble had led Shelby to quit her job for a time.
"What are you not saying?" Sam asked, telling herself she was being a friend to him and to Shelby.